Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody ever asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today, I'll be talking about my first MP3. As usual, there's a blog post that accompanies this episode, which you can find at danq.link/mp3. Somebody recently shared with me a tweet about the tragedy of being a Gen Xer and having to buy all of your music again and again as formats evolve, and somebody else shared with me Kyla LaGrange's cover of a particular song, which I'll talk about in a moment. And together, those two things reminded me that I've never told you the story of my first MP3. Here's the tweet by Bug. I don't own much vinyl, perhaps mostly because I had a tape deck in my bedroom years before a record player, but I've felt Bug's pain, and don't get me started on all the video games I've paid for multiple times. But anyway, in the summer of 1995, I bought the CD single of the still excellent Set You Free by Entrance. That's the song that Kelly LaGrange recently covered. I recently re-watched the music video for Entrance's Set You Free, and man, the 1990s were crazy for crossfades in music videos. More than just a transition, I'm pretty sure that most of the frames in that video are mid-crossfade. It's like one minute I'm watching Kelly Lorena hanging out of a sunroof, but I accidentally left one of my other eyeballs in a smoky nightclub, and I can still see out of that as well. Anyway, in the summer of 1995, I'd heard about this newfangled MP3 audio format, and so I thought, right, I'm going to rip a copy of this song to my PC. At the time, I was using a 66MHz 486SX CPU, which, without an embedded FPU, didn't quite have the processing power to rip and encode in a single pass. I did try to do that, converting straight from the CD's Redbook format to an MP3 file, but the encoding process was too slow, so the CD drive's buffer filled up and didn't get drained by the processor, which was still presumably bogged down with framing or Fourier transforming or whatever on the earlier parts of the track. So the CD drive reasonably assumed it wasn't actually being used, and it spun down the drive motor, which meant it lost its place in the track, which killed the whole process and gave me about a 40-second MP3. I got around it by first ripping to an uncompressed WAV file and then performing the encoding. The former step was done almost real time. I listened to the track as it ripped, about 7 minutes. The latter step took about 20 minutes, so about half an hour in total to rip a single song. Creating what would now be considered an appalling 32kHz mono-channel MP3 file, that meant I briefly stored both a 27MB WAV file and the final around 4MB MP3 file. And 31MB might not sound huge, but back then I only had a total of 145MB of hard drive space. So 31MB consumed over a fifth of my entire fixed storage. Even after deleting the intermediary WAV file, I was still left with a single song consuming about 3% of my hard drive. That's mind-boggling to think about in hindsight. But this whole process and the result felt like magic. I called my friend Gary to tell him about it. "This is going to be massive," I said. Now at the time I meant this is going to be massive for techie people. I could imagine a future in which, with more hard drive space, I'd keep all my music this way, or at least I would bundle entire artists' discographies onto writable CDs in this new format, making albums obsolete. I never considered that over the coming decade or so the format would enter the public consciousness, let alone that it would take off like it did. That MP3 file that I produced of Set You Free had a fault. Most of the way through the encoding process, I got bored and ran another program. And this must have interfered with the stream, because there's an audible blip noise about 30 seconds from the end of the track. You'd have to be listening carefully to hear it, or else know what you were looking for, but it was there, and I didn't want to have to go through the whole process again, so I left it. That artifact uniquely identified that copy of what was, in the end, a popular song to have in your digital music collection. As years went by and I traded MP3 files in bulk at LAN parties or on CDRs, or on at least one occasion on an iOmega zip disk. Do you remember those? I'd sometimes see a file called Entrance Only Love Can Set You Free.mp3, because I initially got the file name wrong, and it would be passed around, and I'd play it, and I'd listen for that blip to see if it was my copy. Sometimes the MP3's ID3 tags had been changed because, for example, the previous owner had decided that it deserved to be considered genre dance instead of genre trance. Those people are wrong. But whatever they'd done, I could still identify that file because of the audio fingerprint, that distinctive blip that belonged to the first MP3 that I ever created. I still had the file when I went to university, where it occupied a smaller proportion of my then reasonable hard drive space, and when I'd hear that distinctive blip, it would remind me about the ordeal that was involved in its creation. I don't have the file anymore, but perhaps somebody in their MP3 collection still does. Once again, this episode was based on a blog post which you can find at danq.link/mp3. If you've enjoyed today's episode, leave a comment there or email me on podcast@danq.me, especially if you've just checked your MP3 of Entrance's Only Love Can Set You Free and it has a blip about 30 seconds from the end. And as always, Dan Q for listening. Dan Q very much.